First John is a special and a unique book in the Bible. It was written, of course, by the Apostle John. John wrote the book of John. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and also the book of Revelation. And as we begin a study of the book of 1 John, we're going to turn to 1 John chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 1. Now, there are some things to remember about the book of 1 John as you read through this book. Remember that 1 John is what is oftentimes called a general epistle. Now, the word general doesn't mean that the contents of the book are general, because the book of 1 John, as we're going to see, is quite specific. But it's called a general epistle because of the people to whom John was writing. This book of 1 John was not written to a specific congregation, like the book of 1 Corinthians or the book of Ephesians. The book of 1 John was written to and for Christians in general, not Christians in any one special location. So it's called a general epistle in that way. As you read the book of 1 John, you're going to see certain themes many times in this book. For instance, you're going to find in the book of 1 John that he talks a great deal about assurance, that is, assurance of salvation. Oftentimes, Christians wonder and they even ask questions about whether they're really saved. If there's a book in the New Testament that really addresses that issue, it is the book of 1 John. It talks a great deal about the assurance and the confidence that Christians can have that they're saved. And you'll notice the word know in this book many times. So assurance of salvation is something that you'll want to watch for in this book. And you'll find it not only interesting, but you'll find it helpful to read the book all the way through. There are only 5 short chapters in this book. And if you'll read the entire book, you will notice time and again that this theme of being sure that you're saved really stands out. Another theme that you're going to see in this book is love. He talks a great deal about loving God, and he talks even more in this book about loving other people, and especially loving the brethren, loving brothers and sisters in Christ. And he tells us what that real, genuine love is. He compares so-called love and love that is in word only with real, genuine Christian love. So as you read through this book, you're going to see many times that he talks about love and what love really involves. He also talks a great deal in this book about saying and doing. And in fact, he talks about people that say and do not. For instance, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, he said, "Hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, 'I know him,' and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now, that's something else that you'll notice in the book of 1 John. That is that John is very bold, he is very direct, and he does not hesitate to call a man a liar when he says one thing and he does another. And so you'll see this in different parts of the book of 1 John. One of the most notable sections is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, where he says, "My little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And one of those bold statements that he makes again is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. "If a man say, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar." So he talks a great deal about saying and doing, and especially about people that say but do not do, they do not practice what they talk about. There's a doctrinal issue in this book that you're going to see arising also, and that was the problem of men called antichrists. You hear the word antichrist quite a bit today, but oftentimes, people do not talk about that word in the way that the Bible does. John is the only writer in the New Testament that uses the word antichrist, and usually it is in the plural, antichrists. And what you find is that John mentions antichrists here in the book of 1 John and in the book of 2 John. The word antichrist is not found in the book of Revelation. It is not there. It is only here in 1 John and in 2 John. And John tells us what these antichrists were. He doesn't say that there was only one man or that there would ever be only one person called the Antichrist. He talks about many people who were antichrists in his time. And an antichrist, according to the Bible, and again, this is the Bible meaning, this is the scriptural definition of an antichrist. John says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, that an antichrist was someone who denied that Jesus had a body of flesh. That is simply what an antichrist was in New Testament times. And we're going to talk about that more, of course, as we proceed through this study. So let's begin in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and we're going to see right away that John does address indirectly that very heresy of the antichrist. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word," and notice the word there is capitalized, "of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." He is talking about Jesus Christ in verses 1 and 2. And it's similar to what he wrote in John 1. In John chapter 1, verse 1, John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And as you go down to verse 14 in that same chapter of John chapter 1, he said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." Now that's similar to what we find here. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "That which was from the beginning." Jesus was from the beginning. Now, there are other passages in the Bible that make it clear that Jesus was before the beginning. As a matter of fact, if he made all things, which the Bible plainly says in John 1, verses 2 and 3, then he had to be there before the beginning. But John is not talking about his pre-existence here. That's not his point. His emphasis here is what he says in these words that really stand out. He says, "We have heard him." We've heard him with our own ears. We have heard his teaching. We have seen him with our eyes. We have looked upon him, and our hands have handled him. We have actually touched him. Now, why is he going into all this? Well, because of that antichrist heresy. Those people denied that Jesus had a body of flesh. And there was a certain camp of those people, especially, that said that Jesus was a spirit, that he really did not have a body of flesh and blood. But the Bible shows us that both before Jesus died on the cross and after his resurrection, he had a body, a physical body. For instance, in Luke chapter 24, Jesus appeared to the disciples and said, "Peace be unto you," in Luke 24, verse 36. The Bible says that the disciples were frightened and they thought that he was a spirit. But in verse 38, Jesus said, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Years later, in this book of 1 John, this is what John is talking about. We have heard him. We have seen him. Our hands have touched him and have handled him. So John assures these Christians that Jesus is the Christ and that he did have a body of flesh and blood. So John shared with them what he had seen and what he had experienced. In verse 3, he says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." The fellowship here is not Christians associating together with each other. This is not a get-together that he's talking about. The word fellowship means to share. And here it means that John was sharing his experiences that he had had with Jesus, how that he had heard Jesus, how that he had seen Jesus, and even touched Jesus. He took that knowledge, he took that experience, and he shared it with these Christians. That was the sharing in common that is talked about here in verse 3. Now, why does John say these things and why did John write this book? There's a very practical lesson found in verse 4. He said, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Why did John write this book? In order that the joy of Christians might be full or complete. The Bible teaches in many places that Christians ought to have joy. And there are some things that make it hard to have that joy. And it's interesting in this book that John talks about some of those hindrances to Christian joy, and he teaches us that we can have joy in spite of those things. For instance, sometimes Christians sin even when they're trying to do their best. And even at their best, they commit sin. Well, the guilt of that sin can rob us of our peace and our joy. He talks about forgiveness here in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, and actually going through chapter 2, verse 2. So sin does not have to rob us of our joy. He also talks a great deal in this book about false teachers. He describes what these men are like and how that they have left the truth and that they're influencing other people. And he says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, that there were many of these false teachers. But in spite of those false teachers and the harm that they were causing, John says your joy can be complete. He also talks about the problem of guilt in the Christian life. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, he talks about our heart condemning us. And again, he shows us that if we're living the Christian life, if we're doing what we should as Christians, even though we're not perfect, even though we commit sin, he shows us that there is forgiveness and that we can have peace and joy inside. That's very important. And also, he talks about fear in this book. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, he talks about that nagging fear, especially fear of the judgment. And throughout this book, he says that we can have confidence in the day of judgment. So the confidence that he says we can have is what really gives us the ground for having joy. And so, if you're a Christian, do you have joy? And is it full and complete joy? Read the book of 1 John, and you're going to see what God tells us about confidence and assurance and true Christian joy.